Bibles, if you would please, and open them to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And as you open there, let me just ask you a very simple, a simple true-false question. Okay, true or false? You ready? As you open to Revelation chapter 3, true or false, the purpose of the church is to show the great love of God to the community by meeting the temporary physical needs of those who live around us. True or false? False. Very good. That does not mean that this is a bad thing to do. Does not mean that it's not a good thing to help those who are in need, to provide shelter for the homeless or clothing to those who are poor, or to feed the hungry, or to have a food bank or a food pantry, whatever. Those are good things. But that is not the purpose of the church. As long as you're clear on that, I don't think you'll have any problem with what the Spirit says to the churches in Revelation 3, 1 through 6. The title of the message this morning is Dead Community Service Church. Dead Community Service Church. Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect or complete before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I had a professor who once told me that I needed to learn to make a beeline for the truth. Make a beeline for the truth. He was referring to what I need to do in my studies, but there's a place to do that also in preaching. So I'm going to make a beeline for the truth. Are you ready? The truth is this. A local church can have a name that it's alive and yet be dead. A local church can have a name that it's alive and yet be dead. And the same is true of any individual. You can have a name that you're alive and yet be dead. Well, I hope that you never want that to be true of you as an individual. I know we never want that to be true of us as a church, and so we're just going to ask a few simple questions in connection with this truth that a church can have a name that it's alive and yet be dead. First question, what does that mean? Second question, is there hope? Third question, what's the lesson? What does that mean? Is there hope? And what's the lesson? So what does it mean? Well, the church in Sardis is the case in point. So let's take a look. Verse 1, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." You see the truth right there? A church can have a name that it's alive and yet be dead. This was first and foremost to the angel. We have learned already this is the messenger, probably a lead pastor of the church in Sardis. There's a lot that we could say about Sardis, but let me just make two comments from what I read this week. Two comments about Sardis. First, it was considered to be safe and secure from the enemy. It was considered to be safe and secure from the enemy, but it was not. Sardis was built on a high plateau with very steep sides, and so it was considered to be an impregnable or unassailable place, safe and secure from any attack. And yet twice in its ancient history, when the city's leaders became lax, when they were essentially asleep at the wheel, the city was taken captive. A similar thing sadly happened to the church, and every church must be on the alert. That's 1 Christ's first commandment. Be on the alert. Be watchful. Second thing to note about Sardis, there was a belief that a nearby hot springs had the power to heal, even the power to restore the dead to life. Having lived in Russia for 9 years, a big belief amongst many Russians is that hot spring water has the power to heal. Well, there was a local belief in Sardis in the first century that a local hot springs had the power even to restore the dead to life. The truth is, such power only belongs to Jesus Christ, only belongs to our God. In grace, Christ speaks to the church to bring it back to life. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God." We learned about that in chapter 1. The seven spirits is a reference to the Holy Spirit, who was pictured in the prophecy of Zechariah as a lampstand with seven lamps. And that lamp was to shine light, of course, and the light was to be shining through all seven lamps so there would be sufficient light for those around. Well, this is an interesting reminder that the purpose of the church is to be a light to the surrounding community by upholding the truth. Right? The church is the pillar and support of the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel. And so Christ reminds the church here that he has the seven spirits of God, and he has the seven stars. The seven stars from chapter 1 refer to Christ's messengers, and it means that Christ has authority over the messengers in the local churches. Well, what does he say? Verse 1, "I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." Now, what does it mean to have a name? It means to have a reputation. And the church in Sardis had a reputation of being alive. Well, among whom do you think they had this reputation? Among those in Sardis. The church in Sardis had a reputation in Sardis that they were alive. And on what basis? We're told here, on the basis of their works. And Jesus says, "I know your works, that you have a name." In other words, I know your works, and you have a name in that community that you are alive. And yet you are dead. So the church in Sardis was doing works in the community where it existed, and as a result, this pastor and his people had the reputation in the community that they were alive. I can just imagine a conversation something like this. "Hey, have you been down to Sardis Community Church? They are so alive. I mean, they have a food pantry over there that is fantastic. Every Friday is Canned Goods Friday. As many canned goods as you can fit in a Sardis Mart bag for free. I mean, last week I fit 20 cans in mine. Oh, I love that church. That church is awesome. They have a clothing bank. I got winter coats there last year for the kids and me and my neighbors. Fantastic. Unlimited free coat giveaway. I got my coats there too. And in August, they had free back-to-school backpacks for all the kids. And those things were loaded. That Sardis Community Church is so alive. Unlike the church my grandparents attend, Sardis Bible Church. They have a lot of Bible studies over there. They're always talking about God and the gospel and so forth. But they have like no food bank. They have no clothing bank, no free backpacks, and no pet blessings. Very dead church. Very dead church. You know, every church has a reputation in the community, a reputation in the eyes of men. But what really matters is what the church's reputation is in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And here's the truth. A church can have a reputation among men of being alive, and yet that same church in the eyes of Christ can be dead. And Jesus says, "I know your works, that you have a name that you're alive, and yet you're dead." And you probably wonder, well, how could that be possible? So think about this with me. How many of you are familiar with community service clubs like Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions Club? Familiar with those clubs? Praise the Lord, I'm glad they exist. I was the outstanding seventh grade boy. Just want to say, I probably have a plaque of that somewhere. And the Lions Club sent me off to a camp that year, and it was fun. I was thankful for the award and for the camp that I went to. I'm thankful some of you may be involved in Rotary or JC's or Lions or Kiwanis or Elks. I'm not sure there's a bunch of them. And I'm glad for that. Let me ask you, do these groups do good works? Yes. And that is why they exist for the most part. Do their members gather together for meetings? Yes. Do they sometimes sing songs? Yes, I've been to a meeting or two, and yes, they sometimes sing songs. Do they sometimes have special speakers who speak on special topics? Do they sometimes take up an offering or collect dues? Sure. Well, then what's the difference between that and a local church? And the answer is, sadly, in some cases, not much. Not much. Because some pastors and some churches think that doing good service works in the community is what it really means to be the church. I've heard of churches that will take some Sunday mornings off now and then, and they will say to the people, go out and be the church by doing good works in the community, thus teaching them that that's what it really means to be the church, is to go out and meet the temporal, physical needs of people in the community. I actually had lunch with a pastor who had just begun his ministry at a local church, and I really felt sad for his flock afterwards, because what he said was, he said, I've been here for a couple of weeks, and I can already see that I'm going to have to make serious changes, because these people still think, and I'm quoting almost verbatim of what he said, because it wasn't that long ago, and my memory's not that bad. These people still think that studying the Bible is what we are to be about, and that is going to have to change. Yeah. John MacArthur writes, it's easy to spot a dead church. It's the kind of church that is consumed with healing the social ills and promoting public welfare, but is not consumed with preaching the power of the gospel to transform lives. It is a church that tolerates sin rather than confronting it. So this raises the question, well, what is the life of the local church? What's the life of the local church? Of course, the answer is Jesus Christ. We just sang about that, right? My life is in you, Lord. Our life is in Christ, and Christ is the life in us, and he is the life of the church. He's the life of the party, if you will. He's the life of the church. But what does that look like when Christ is the life of the church? For the sake of time, I'm not going to have you turn there. This should be very familiar with you, to you, if you know your Bible. But in Acts 2, we are given a picture of the life of the early church, and there are seven marks of a truly alive church. I'll just give them to you very quickly. You remember this, right? Acts 2:42. And they, that's early believers in Christ, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and continued steadfastly in fellowship, and continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread, and continued steadfastly in prayers. That's four marks of an alive church. In other words, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine of Christ, studying the Bible, preaching the word, teaching the Bible, discussing it, meditating on it, maybe memorizing it. First mark of a truly alive church is they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They study the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second mark, they continue steadfastly in fellowship. And fellowship, as you know from the Bible, is centered on Christ. Christ is who we have in common. The truth is what we share in common. The third mark of a truly alive church is they continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread, which is a reference to communion, which you recall is the proclaiming of the Lord's death until he comes. Fourth mark of a truly alive church, they continue steadfastly in prayers, that is in prayers for one another, sharing prayer concerns, sharing how God has answered prayers. There are three more marks of a truly alive church. One of them is caring for one another by sharing with any members who have need. That's in Acts 2:44 and 45. It's not about, though a church may do and can do, sharing in the community, but the mark of the truly alive initial church was they are caring for one another within the church by sharing with any members in the church community who had need. Another, and we all like this one, was eating together corporately and house to house with simplicity of heart. Right, they were sharing meals together. And finally, corporate worship. They were praising God together. That's in verse 47. So in Acts 2, there are seven marks of a truly alive church. And yet there's nothing in there about trying to meet the temporal material needs of unbelievers in the community, which they also did, and which any church can do. But it is not the purpose of the church. The church was designed by God to be the pillar and support of the truth. And any church that departs from the truth is on the road to being a dead church. We're to uphold the truth. We're to study it, learn it, live it, proclaim it, defend it. And that is the life of the church. The mission of the church, I asked you in the beginning, is the purpose of the church to meet the temporal, physical needs of people in the community? No. The mission of the church is to make disciples by evangelizing the lost and teaching the saved to obey Christ. It's go and make disciples of Christ. It's not go and start a food pantry, but you may. Or go and start a clothing bank, which you may. Or go and open a homeless shelter, which you may. As wonderful and needful as those things may be, they are not the mission of the church. And in the case of the church at Sardis, sadly, and in the case of many churches today, they actually go away from the truths of the gospel, and they go away from the things that Christ has commanded, and they become increasingly conformed to this world, and you end up with a dead church. Are any of you already aware of this fact? You're aware of this. You've probably seen it. You probably have friends that are attending some churches that are dead. They think they're alive, and the community thinks they're alive, but you go, in some cases, they don't even know the gospel, or they will not uphold it. Second question. I hope you understand what it means. A church can have a name that it's alive based on the works they do in the community and yet be dead because they've departed from Christ and the gospel. The same can happen with an individual. An individual can have a name that he or she is alive based on certain works that they are doing. But if they are not in Christ, if they're not abiding in Christ, if his words are not abiding in them, evidence of a dead individual. So second question, is there any hope for a dead church? You might think, well, no, they're dead. And yet Christ, in his grace, speaks to this church, and there are five commands to every dead church, or any church that's near being dead. Five commands here to the pastor of that church, because he had apparently led his people astray from Christ. And those five commands show the way back to life for the dead. Very briefly, command number one, be watchful. That is literally become a spiritually alert kind of person. Become a spiritually alert kind of people. Become spiritually watchful as opposed to spiritually dull and negligent. The problem is they had essentially fallen asleep by departing from Christ and his word. Exhortation number two, verse two, it says, "And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect or complete or fulfilled before God." Now, to the messenger of the church, Christ is saying, you have not fulfilled your ministry. You remember that? Paul's last words to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And then he says, others will turn away from the truth, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The pastor of the church in Sardis had gone away from those priorities for the sake of something else. And many pastors today do the same thing. And there's a temptation to do that. There is a temptation to do that. You know why? You know what one of the temptations is? To get more people in the community in the church. To get more money. I mean, you're going to be a far more popular church if you water down the gospel or get rid of it completely. If you open your arms to say, everyone is welcome to be a member here. We don't care what your faith or lifestyle is like. And we're just here to do you good. Boy, that's recipe to grow the church. And recipe to lead your church into apostasy. This pastor had not fulfilled his ministry. This church, they had not fulfilled theirs. And so the second thing Christ says, is strengthen the things which remain. Now that could be strengthen the biblical principles that remain, but that word strengthen is very consistently used of people. He's probably saying to his messenger, Christ is probably saying to his messenger, strengthen those souls who remain, who have been on the verge of death for a while now. And another translation says who are on the verge of leaving. Christ is telling his messenger, you've got a few people there and you have got to strengthen those remaining members. That is the key to getting back to life. You've got to focus in on those few people who have not gone away from Christ and the gospel. Then he says, verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard. Received and heard what? The gospel of Christ. Remember how you have received and heard the gospel and everything that goes with that. And then he says, hold fast or keep the same word that Christ used in the Great Commission, teaching them to observe, teaching them to keep all that I have commanded you. They had gone away from that. This is the way back to life. You need to keep the teaching of Christ, cling to the commands of Christ, learn them, obey them, live them, preserve them. And finally, if you want it all in one word, repent. To repent is the only hope for a dead pastor. To repent is the only hope for a dead church. It means turn around. Turn around, go back the other way. You're going the wrong way. They need to go back to the gospel of Christ. They need to go back to the Great Commission and start obeying all that Christ has commanded. The dead church and the dead pastor must repent or else. Jesus says, therefore, if you will not watch, if you will not become watchful and alert, I will come upon you as a thief. That means suddenly and unexpectedly. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you to do what? To judge, clearly. Verse 4 answers the question, well, what about those few believers who still exist in a dead church? Because some of us know those people, right? Some of us know people in a dead church and we think, why are you staying there? You're in a dead church. Well, Jesus has good news for them. Verse 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. That's a reference to Zechariah chapter 3 and Joshua being clothed in garments. You remember in Zechariah's prophecy, I think it's chapter 3, Zechariah the high priest stands before the Lord and he's clothed in filthy garments. Garments represent character. And the character of the people of Israel had become corrupt. They had departed from the words of God. If you want to boil it down to one sin, it was the sin of hypocrisy. They were continuing to proclaim the name of the Lord, but they had departed from his law. It was the same in Sardis. They were continuing to claim the name of Christ, but they had departed from his words. They departed from the gospel. And so Jesus says, you have a few who have not defiled their garments, and I would say by hypocrisy. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. They've remained faithful to the Lord. They have stayed faithful to his word. And there's good news here for the faithful, even in the dead church. They will be blessed. Verse 5, he who overcomes what? The temptation to conform to this world. The temptation to conform to this world's way of thinking and to the culture. The temptation to compromise. He who overcomes how? By faith in Jesus Christ and the gospel. That's the only way to overcome. The Bible says, whoever is born of God overcomes this world. Speaking of those who have been born again by the Spirit through faith in Christ. Whoever is born of God overcomes this world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even what? Our faith. Our faith. So verse 5, he who overcomes this world and the temptations in it by faith in Christ shall be clothed in white garments, representing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Topic for another time. But does he have a book of life? Yes. Can he blot out names from it? Yes. Is that loss of salvation? No. If you want to know the details, ask me afterwards. But we'll cover it sometime. It'll come up again. But this is not meant as a threat. It's an encouragement. Listen, for those who remain faithful to Christ by faith in him, he says, there is no way I will ever blot out his name from the book of life. Rather, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's good news. That's really the gospel. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to follow him. You're going to overcome the temptations of this world by faith in him, and he is going to reward you in the end. So yes, there is hope for the dead church, amazingly. What's the lesson for us? I've got a lot written here. I'll boil it down to one thing, just one. Be on the alert. Be watchful. First exhortation of Christ in verse 2. Become a watchful kind of person. Become a watchful kind of church. Over and over again, Jesus said to his disciples when he spoke of his second coming, watch, watch. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch, Mark 13:37. Watch and stand fast in the faith and be brave and be strong, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Let's not sleep like others do, but let's watch. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Be sober and be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Beloved, be on your guard. Let's not let it happen here that we depart from the study of Christ and his holy word for the sake of something else. We never want to be a church that has a name that we're alive, but we're dead. Finally, if you're here today and you're not in Christ, the Bible says you are dead. Dead in your trespasses and sins, and yet the God of heaven can make you alive. You know how easy that is? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved from spiritual death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you speak the truth to us. Thank you that you love us enough to tell us the truth. And Father, help us in this church to be a faithful pillar and support of your truth for Jesus' sake. And in his name we pray. Amen.